You can now watch The Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports Network, our first ever streaming TV channel. Yahoo Sports Network is available to stream on leading fast services. It's also streaming live 24/7 on yahoosports.tv, where you can catch all of the shows on your phone or your browser. On today's episode of The Good Word, Marcus Thompson joins us to discuss the Warriors, Lakers, and Knicks, best and worst case scenarios for all teams. We also talk about the 2022 title for the Warriors and how improbable it was as time goes on, including how different of a player Steph Curry was from their first iteration to this last iteration of championships. We also talk about John Wall's retirement and the Hall of Game. All that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. Of course, we are on YouTube, so don't forget, rate, review, subscribe to us there as well as all the places you consume your audio podcast. Let's get right into it. We got one of the, if not the best writer in the business, my man Marcus Thompson II from The Athletic in the Bay Area. What's going on, my man?
What's up, homie? This is interesting. I'm happy to be on The Good Word. I'm happy to be on The Good Word.
Hey, man, I'm happy to have you here. It's not always easy for people to come on this time of year since the NBA goes a little quiet right around now. People be taking vacation. So, my brother, thank you. I didn't see you in Cleveland. I'm, a little disappointed I didn't see you in Cleveland, but I understand.
I heard Cleveland was lit, too. I was in Eugene, Oregon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You was covering track and field.
Eugene, yeah. Oregon. I was covering, yeah. A domestic dispute or two, couple of foot races.
Oh, that's right. There was a domestic dispute.
Yeah.
At the airport. We gonna leave that one alone before we get everybody in trouble. But I want to look ahead, Marcus, for the start of the next season, or almost look ahead to what will be the end of the next season and play like a little game of let's see what happens if something goes wrong, right? Or if something goes all the way right, you're going to tell me, or we're going to discuss why it went right or how it went right. So because you're from the Bay Area, because you've written books on the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant, I feel like it's only fair to start with the Warriors. Like, their over under this year is 44 wins. I think it's important to note, even though they got bounced in the second round by Minnesota in five games, A, that was without Stephen Curry, and B, when they got Jimmy Butler on best behavior, Jimmy, 23-7 after that trade, right? So,
yes,
if the Warriors get knocked out in the first round this coming season, tell me what went wrong.
They hella old. That's what went wrong. The league is getting younger and more athletic, and these dudes probably had to play a lot to get into the playoffs, right? If they've got to really go hard at 23-7, they went hard. They was pushing it. You know, there was no more floor beneath that pedal, you know what I'm saying? You never know why hammies happen, right? But, when Steph pulls up lame in game one of the semis, you could reasonably point to the load to get there just to make the play-in. So if they got to do that and then they get to the playoffs, and remember, that was a dogfight with Houston.
Yes, it
was. Seven-game series, who had nothing but youth and athleticism. Couldn't do nothing else but play hard, right? They couldn't shoot.
Right.
they could guard, but that's all they had, and they gave the Warriors a hard time. So if they run up against one of those teams with a little bit more skill and they've burnt themselves out, I could see the first-round exit. That's how it could happen. Or the other one is if they go against somebody with some size, because the Warriors still don't have some size. And the new size they're supposed to get any one of these days.
It's old size.
Old size. So if they run up against one of them, legit centers, that could be it too.
Are you surprised? Like, just dovetailing for a minute. Are you surprised that, let's just say, the only transaction that they will have had to this point, if it were to happen, is Al Horford, and that no other business has happened. Are you surprised this Kuminga thing has played out as long and as seemingly ugly as it has?
Nah, this was headed this way. Like, this was always headed there. I mean, first off, when they signed Jimmy last year, the vibe was, you know, this might be the move that we make over the next, you know, couple times around. Like, this is a big move. They gave up their first round pick, right? They don't have much to trade, which is the problem, right? And they don't have money, clearly. So they are kind of behind the eight ball that sits. Now, this whole Kuminga thing, when you just add the numbers up, it was always going to be tough just because of that base year compensation thing. And and the fact that, you know, you got to get the number so high to trade. And also, we all know around here, I don't know if people know this naturally, but the owner of the Warriors is very high on Jonathan Kuminga. And they've been thinking a lot about what to do in the post-Steph Curry era. And Kuminga is one of those players who they could see surviving past that Steph Curry era. So this one of them train wrecks you saw coming. Like, this was said, you could see it. You're like, you from the balcony of your high rise, you know what I'm saying, hotel, looking out, you could see the train, you could see it coming. Like, this might get hairy. And that's where we ended up.
You know what's funny? I've never said this on any podcast over the last 3 or 4 years, but I'm going to say it to you, and I'm not even being funny about this, but I'm curious what you think. Now that I think back at everything that happened in 2022 and how surprised everybody was, maybe not Stephen Curry, but everybody else that was surprised that the Warriors won the title.
He was a little surprised. He was crying for a reason.
Yeah, that's true. That boy was. Hey, when he was ugly crying out there. Yeah. Hey, look. When you that shade of pigment and you start crying, that cry is ugly, right? Yeah, it's uglier to watch us cry.
He ain't even wait till he had the trophy to hide behind. You know what I'm saying? Even Jordan hid behind a trophy. You gotta.
he saw his daddy who was smoking a cigar. That was it. The question I have, Marcus, and I'm very fascinated about it, by your answer. Do you believe that the Warriors believed that Stephen Curry was really done during that time when he had the wrist injury and KD was gone? Did they believe that they could have realistically built a team around him of vets that could have led to a title? Because they started this whole two timeline stuff. But I felt like that was them tacitly saying, we don't think Steph can do it by himself anymore.
I mean, they say no, that they knew Steph was good, Steph Curry, blah, 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 but it's just not reasonable to conclude that they felt that. And look, not the answer isn't, can Steph win a championship carry a team? The answer is, did they start preparing for Steph coming back from this injury and starting to feel some regression? The answer is obviously, like, yes. And in fairness to them, Steph didn't just stay flat either. He came back actually better. He put on some muscle, like he was more aggressive about it. He had just come up. The last time we saw Steph, like before the pandemic, really, was when KD was on the team. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, deferring. Like he would have his moments, but generally he was like, yo, this. You know, this is my bike. We act like it's both ours, right? Right. So it was more like that. The step after, and it was a long time, Vinny. That's why I know what you're saying is real, because Klay got hurt 2019 in the finals. So did KD. Mm-hmm. The next year, Steph got hurt in game like 4, broke his hand. Mm-hmm. Then the pandemic happened, like right when he came back. So he played 5 games that year. And then remember, it was that extra long break. You know, they had the bubble, and the season did start to like Christmas or something.
Right.
So we didn't see Steph for like 8-9 months. Like, so that's a long time. He came back more like, this my team, right? Like, there's no ambiguity about it. You know, when Klay get back, we can't wait for Klay to get back. But when he get back, this my team. Mm-hmm. And he was stronger and kind of ready for that role. And he... you know, he took off in that sense. So they could say we always thought Steph was good. They were not prepared for another Steph turn up. You know what I'm saying? That's not what they were ready. They were not ready for what happened in 2022. That's not what, that wasn't in anybody's mind that this dude is like, all right, I'm about to sun these dudes and go win a shit. Like, they weren't thinking that. They were thinking, let's prepare for life after Steph while we still got them. So I think what you're bringing up is a valid thing, but how do they actually say out loud, man, we thought Steph was washed.
Right, right. They can't. They can't say that. But, and it's just, it's one of those things, like, you start the end and you work your way through the beginning and you're like, wait a minute. They didn't trade any of those picks, the Kamingas, the Wisemans. Like,
two lottery picks. They had two.
Mm-hmm. And didn't say, let's go get us a vet so that we can, at least on the back end of this, when Klay comes back and everything. Remember, Klay got hurt on draft night. The second injury for Klay was on draft night or draft afternoon. Yeah. If they had something cooking, it would have happened anyway. So that's why I think that the Warriors didn't even believe in Steph. And secondarily, and this is the dirty little secret, Kevin Durant being in Golden State, to me, taught Steph how to be a real superstar. Like, how to handle everything. So when KD was gone, Steph was more of a grown man. Not that he was a kid, but remember all this superstardom stuff and 73 wins, it happened so quick. Like, you couldn't have foreseen it to come, so you didn't have time to naturally grow. But now you got this 2 years, these 3 years with KD, this 1 year sabbatical. You got a lot of time to sit with yourself and to, you know, really be able to mentally be ready for everything that was coming. And that's why 2022 happened for him. For the Warriors, it looked like, man, we got to prepare for a life after Steph because we don't know if he bringing it like that. Like, that's just as an aside. That's just what I think. And Steph done wiped his ass with my words enough times over the past couple years that I'm not going to doubt him anymore, even at age going on 38. But yeah, tell me this. Go ahead.
I do think you're right. I don't think Bob Myers was like, Steph is washed. I do think how they view team building was like, we have to prepare for this life after Steph, right? And that's the thing. And I think you make a great point that I didn't really think about. He did learn, if nothing else, he learned there's some value in being the alpha dog on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That's like, as much as Steph had, he had fashioned himself as like, yeah, I welcome, like, I want to win, winning matters more, everything. Like, he definitely, after KD, took more of an alpha dog mentality. Like for instance, like, I don't think he would do that again. Like, I don't think he would do the thing again where it's like, come in, like, it has to be understood. You see the moment when they were talking about Bron, he was like, yeah, nah, we're good. Even though I'm sure he'd take Bron, but right. The message he wanted to get across was like, nah, there's no ambiguity anymore. This is my team.
Or, if Kevin Durant hadn't said no to Golden State, because remember, the deal was going to be Kevin Durant going back to Golden State before KD said, I don't want to go back. If KD came back, there was not going to be we're not sure whose team this is.
Nah.
Steph was Mm-mm. going to be saying, yo, this is my squad, and y'all get behind me, including you, Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
that's the way it would have went.
I agree with that 100%. And it would have been fascinating because I don't know if Steph says it like that. Like, hey.
I think he carries it like that. He don't say it, but he carry it like that.
Yeah, he walks like that. And then there's also the part too where I think the part that they missed out on by not staying together was like, they both have the ability to vacillate between one and two. You know what I'm saying? Which almost feels like there's a sustainability in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, one dude doesn't carry the whole burden. Right, which is far more difficult. So I don't know how many rings they would have won together just by being able to do that. And I think there's a version of them that could do that. But no question that KD experience taught Steph something about being an alpha, like the responsibility of winning and losing. Like, if you go have the responsibility of losing, you might as well have the perch of being the alpha dog. And like, he operated that way ever since. Like, we haven't seen the Steph from 2016, like, who was like, yeah, like, It's all good as long as we win.
We ain't seen the Steph.
Let's win my way.
Yeah, we ain't seen the 2018 Steph or the 2017, like the moments that I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was Orlando or something, where Steph wanted to run the Steph system and KD was clapping for the ball.
That was Memphis. I'll never forget that game. Remember Draymond start yelling like,
yes, yes.
Yeah. I remember that game. I'll never forget that.
And KD dribble between the legs, pull up, clang off the rim, and Draymond lost his mind.
Yeah, I remember that.
That wouldn't happen in 2025.
Nah.
If they got back together. That wouldn't happen.
And you know, like, that's the thing about, I think that we kind of forget about Steph, especially in comparison to KD and LeBron, is them dudes walked in the league as them dudes, you know?
Yeah.
Like they had a decade of experience, you know what I'm saying? Or at least five years.
Experience of having to shoulder the responsibility of a household. Like the hopes and dreams and the responsibility of the league, everything. Steph
was surprised. Yeah, no, Steph snuck onto the scene. Like he wasn't 2011-12, this wasn't Steph's responsibility. 2012-13, they were the sexy team. Remember, they were the cute upstarts. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, let's watch this league pass team. By 2016, 2017, like then it's like, hey, Steph, no, you're carrying the league. So when he came back, he's like, all right, I'm carrying the league. That's the stuff we got. But he had to learn that though. That's why I think that's a great point you make.
We assume that once guys elevate to a superstar status, that they understand all the other things. But that's why so many of these young kids today are boring as hell, but the Ja Morants, the Zion Williamsons, the kids who come out of nowhere, they can't handle it because they haven't been prepped off the floor for all the responsibility. It's really heavy. Like, you're not allowed to make mistakes. You're not allowed to do all this other stuff. Like, it's crazy. We just got into a whole different sociology conversation, and we're supposed to be talking ball, but whatever, right? But this is what happens when we have
deep
good
though. It really is deep, though.
Yeah, because I honestly think Steph and KD, if they got together at this point in their career, it would be far more compelling had they done it now rather than them doing it in 2016-17. Because when you're older and you have to learn how to figure it out with the guy next to you as opposed to, oh, hey, man, we can just roll this thing out here because we are two of the three best players in basketball.
Like, yeah, we know what it is. Yeah,
we know what it is. You got to try a little bit harder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nah, they when they got together in 2016, they were both at us because they're around the same age. They both were at a point in their life where they were, you know, it's like, all right, they were living on their own for a while, but now it's like, now I own the house. Like, what is that like? You know what I'm saying? Now I gotta, when everything go wrong, I'm the one who gotta fix it. Like, I do think they both learned that. So now it's like, what was it, last year or even the year before that when the idea was flirting? Like now they fully mature NBA players. I don't think the insecurity would be as much of an issue. Or the questions about who's running this, whose team is it, wouldn't bother them nearly as much because they're like, we're just about to win and dominate. Like that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, and that's what, look, we could play the what if game and everything else. Like I was one of those people, because I heard Nick Wright say this on Bo's podcast, like the same people who bashed KD for going to Golden State were the same people who bashed him for leaving. I understood why he went there while also understanding why he left, while also saying, hey, man, I get it if you stay. Like, I understood why he left, but I also would have gotten it had he stayed, had the relationship not completely soured by all the other stuff. Hey, man. Like you said, we can figure this out together as we age. Yeah. But I think that, you know, I think there was something to both of them of wanting to figure it out on their own and not be roommates no more. But see each other in the dorm room, in the hallways, and still kick it. Like, if you ever had a roommate in college and that relationship changes because you're in college and then you see each other later, even if it's 3 months later, it's a different bond. It's a different sort of way that you move around each other. And I think that's like Steph and KD at the Olympics. You know
it's
what
like,
I mean?
Like Nas said, man, we had words, but the best supposed to clash at the top, right? They both too good and too big. They had to figure out that thing isolated. And to KD's credit, he had already had it. So he kind of You know, he had his time from whatever 2010 to 16 where he was
the, and having a wrestle guy. With Russ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And wrestling with to a lighter degree with Harden before they move Harden up out of there. So no, it's a totally different, like KD is a completely different experiment in himself. He's one of the more fascinating players in the history of basketball. Like, cause I don't think we've ever actually figured him out in a way that we figured out everybody else. And I just think that's fascinating. But let's figure this whole Warriors thing out for next year. If the Warriors make a championship run, if they make it to the conference finals next year, like, I don't know how likely that is with the West being stacked, but if they make it to at least the Western Conference finals and they're there with the Thunder, they're with the Nuggets, whomever, why did it happen?
Nobody got hurt and they came into the playoffs pretty fresh, and Steph, like Jimmy Butler was amazing, right? We're assuming Steph's going to be amazing. Like 2022 was like a chemistry thing, man.
Yeah.
They overcame a lot of traditional championship things you have by just being so locked in together, like being so versatile to adapt to any situation. Like it has to be like that. Mm-hmm. Like the robe. I mean, nobody thought much of Otto Porter, Nemanja Bjelica, Jordan Poole, Gary Payton II, like, These weren't names that scared anybody in the West at the time.
Right.
But how they fit together, they were so malleable, right? Like, all right, you're going against big, here's what we're doing. You're going to get small, here's what we're doing. Like, they could do that. It has to be like that. Like, the pieces, if they make it, that means the pieces fit so well. And then Jimmy was great. Like, that, to me, that's the thing you kind of got to have. You got to have that second player great. And what happened in 2022? Andrew Wiggins played like we'd never seen him play before.
Or since.
So, like, presuming Steph is Steph, it's because Jimmy found that Jimmy Butler level in the playoffs. I think he needs Steph to do that, to be with him at this point in his career. He couldn't do it. It was just him, right?
Right.
Jonathan Kuminga. But if Steph's on the court and Jimmy can find that level, they could be scary, right? Like they'll scare the bejesus out of a team because you got to deal with them. Like Denver is like, to me, like probably the most solid team out there, but Denver would be terrified to face the Warriors, right? Like, that would be a tough, tough matchup. And if they survive it,
right?
Like, they'd have to wonder how much they lose. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So to me, the Warriors are that team. They just going to put pressure. So they're healthy. They're fresh. The old guys are fresh coming into the league, and all the pieces matter. Shout out to our homie Jonathan Abrams, who wrote the Wire book, All the Pieces Matter, right?
Like, yes, sir.
All those pieces that will matter. Like now, you know, who's the Otto Porter?
Right.
Who's the Nemanja Bjelica?
Right.
Like who would like randomly just guard Jokic and for some random reason actually guarded him well. Like on some, like, what are we watching here? Like this is crazy. That stuff was happening in 2022.
It's funny. While it was happening, and maybe because I came on late because I was covering the league and then I became Warriors guy later, like starting in that Memphis series, it didn't feel improbable when it was happening. It felt like, oh yeah, this is what's supposed to happen. And once you zoom out, you're like, wait a minute.
That's so true. I expected them to win every series.
Yes.
No question. Yeah.
But once you zoom out, about like last year, I'm like,
what?
That's a jack that walked. That's a 10 of spades that walked across the table when clearly somebody had the big, somebody had the little, somebody had something, and the 10 kept walking. That jack kept walking. And next thing you know, they're in the finals, and Steph was like, I got the big joker.
They down 2-1 in Boston. How do they win? You know what I'm saying? Down 2-1 in Boston. The game after Steph, we thought he might be out.
Right.
Because remember he fell
on his leg. Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, I remember, I think it was you. We were walking to the post game. We were like,
This is it.
And then and Steph wouldn't talk about it. I was like, if he ain't talking about it. Normally if Steph's fine, he'd be like, it's nothing. But he wouldn't say nothing except for say, I'll be playing game 4. Like, I remember thinking like, hey, well, that's how it goes down. Yeah, so live though, like Memphis, I'm like, Memphis is not beating this team.
Right.
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 That's how I'm thinking about the matter.
Right.
Right. You know, like Dallas is not beating this team. And then, you know, you get to Boston, it's like, Boston will be tough, but I still think they win. But fast forward 2 years later, you're like, that
there's no way in the world they should. Like, we could talk about Milwaukee's winning the championship and on the skin of Kevin Durant's foot and all, everything else. But the Warriors winning in 2022, as time moves on, we're going to look back at that one. Even more than the Toronto win in 19, because you can make sense of winning. You can't make sense of the Warriors winning in 22. I'm trying to think of the last. You can make more sense of the Dallas Mavericks winning in 2011 than you can make sense of the Warriors winning in 22. And those are the improbable championships we've had in the last 15 years.
I do feel like that was the blueprint, though, that Dallas series. Like, they were the best team.
Yes.
I mean, they had 11 guys.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like they had an answer.
But they
for
had
however
Dukes wanted
to play.
One. They yeah, had yeah. one before.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
When you win, it's hard to win again.
No question. Yeah. There's a certain level of desperation, right? Like everybody plays like PJ Tucker when they haven't won. Like you got that. That's what the Warriors had in 22. Like the way Wiggins was rebounding. Like you said, we've never seen it again, but he's rebounding like, this is my one chance to show the world I was not a bust. Like, I was worthy of the number one. But, like, he played like his dad's name was on the line. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's tough to do when you won already.
I mean, it's wild. And it feels like we've talked Warriors all the time for the past decade, but there's so many tentacles. Like, when I think about historically, second best players to win a championship, on Steph Curry's epitaph, it will say, I won a championship with Andrew Wiggins. That's my second best player. I'm not a member of Stephen Curry is over Zeke on the all-time point guards list. I am a member of Steph Curry's a top 10, top 15 player of all time, but not on that particular position. But the biggest thing on Steph's thing is I won two championships with Kevin Durant, but I also won an improbable championship with Andrew Wiggins as my second best player. I don't think, maybe Hakeem Olajuwon with Otis Thorpe as his second best player.
Oh, man,
maybe that's
like,
the other one.
Would you act like Robert Horry wasn't there? Oh, Julian.
Robert Horry got more rings than Michael Jordan. What y'all talking about? That's when you have the ring conversation.
Was Sam Cassell not alive? Well, wait. Was Rookie. Kenny the Jet not the number two? Was Kenny the Jet? Yeah.
See. Moving on, Marcus Thompson to the Los Angeles Lakers. The over-under has them at 48 wins, which I think is mighty generous considering we got old LeBron. Now tell me this, Marcus. If the Lakers make it only to the play-in, which they've made it in, let's see, like four of the last 5 years. Since the play-in has begun, the Lakers have been in there with the exception of like last year. If the Lakers find themselves back in the Laker Invitational, the play-in tournament, what went wrong?
DeAndre Ayton and Luka. That's what I'm going. DeAndre Ayton was not the size, the big they needed, which is a very reasonable
conclusion. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, he's going to want the ball too much. He's going to want his touches and his shots. And if he doesn't get it, he doesn't defend like he should. He's not rebounding. Like, he's not going to be the role-playing big that they need him to be.
Right.
And Luka figures out a way to take himself out of the highest level, right? Which, you know, judging by, you know, men's health, he's found the sweet spot. But 82 games is a long time. He's got to hold it together mentally, because this might be the year it has to be his team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot in Laker land. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot when
that's a big burden.
You got to deal with this. It's a different burden, man. That's a, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's another level. And like, if he doesn't live up to that task on the first go round, that's a reasonable outcome too. So to me, those two will be central, because if it has to be Bron,
right?
Let's just come on, man. At some point, they gotta. You know what I'm saying? At some point, my man need a smoke break, right? Like, it's, at some point, he got to get some PTO off this thing. Like,
hey, look, man. We need somebody to fold these shirts at the Gap. Where LeBron at, man? I'm in the back taking like, a smoke break, man. I've been working here for 20 years.
At some point, man, my man got to get some, you know, his, you ever get the messages where it's like, you have exceeded your maximum vacation time requested? Like, LeBron be getting that for like, like, Brett, can you use some of your vacation time? Like, he needs somebody to say, hey, I got this. And I'm not, I think Luka is that caliber of player.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, first time doing it under the Laker pressure, like, dealing with what he's dealing with.
And doing it, Marcus, when LeBron is in the last year of his contract, when is this the farewell tour? Is it?
Yeah, we don't know what it is. Yeah.
We don't know what it is, right? If LeBron don't announce that he retiring at the beginning of the season, that's a signal that he telling you he ain't retiring, because he ain't going 82 games, not 81, not 80. He's going 82 games of a farewell tour. So if he don't announce it in training camp, it ain't a farewell tour.
You know, and that's true, and he deserves that too. Like, we need a lap. Yeah, we need to come. We need to write all the little pieces out. He need that. But he definitely gonna get it too.
Oh, he gonna get it all. He's earned it all. He gonna get it all. Ain't no shade here on that. He done carried the league for 23 years or whatever it is. No.
So he ain't 75 games in talking about, yeah, this is it. Like, nah. Yeah, no.
He ain't doing that the All-Star game. He ain't doing that the NBA Cup in Vegas or none of that. He making that announcement at the start of the season. Wherever he goes, he gonna be making an announcement. Now, Marcus, if the Lakers make a run, is it because Luka and LeBron have managed something? Or is it because, like you said, Luka has basically taken the mantle.
Yeah.
He stays in shape. He done figured it out. And LeBron can sort of recede to being 2A type of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. If Luka's MVP of the league, like that type Luka, like best player on the court. And now LeBron can be the best player when he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't have to be. He's not waiting on AD to take 20 shots in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, to carry the offense. If Luka's the MVP of the league, or, you know, like, just in that mix, right? Like, he don't have to win it. But if he has that level where we come March are debating about is it Jokic, is it Shea, or is it Luka, right? If he's having that kind of year, then I feel like that's the step one to put all these other pieces in place. Because if he's having that kind of year, DeAndre Ayton clapping ain't going.
Oh, no. Nah. Oh, no. Nah.
Because he going to clap. DeAndre Ayton is going to be down there. Hey, I'm open.
Hey, you better get it off the glass, bro.
You better get off the glass.
Or you better come here and set this screen. You clapping.
You know what I'm saying?
Come here and set this screen.
But MVP Luka could use an Ayton. If Ayton just, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's also in the bag. MVP Luka is getting you 9 to 11 assists on the regular, you know, 15 to 20 when he cooking. So you need we saw a little bit with Jackson Hayes, and now if DeAndre Ayton is upgrading that, much better player around the basket.
Right.
It's like, he could eat off Luka if Luka's MVP Luka. And now just LeBron get PTO. Like, he get to, you know, have a little coffee in the break room. You know what I'm saying? Hey, like,
but the question is, will LeBron want to have coffee in the break
room?
Now,
that's the other thing.
If Luka's cooking,
if he get what he needs, is he going to want what he need?
I'll tell you this. The first two games of the 2020 NBA Finals in that bubble, Anthony Davis hit two of the best games of his life. That man ain't seen a good shot since. That man ain't seen a good shot since. And then it turned to the LeBron show. That's what that was.
But how much do LeBron actually care about the regular season anymore? If he could just chill during a regular season and they win. But playoffs now.
But LeBron in his sleep can get 25-5-5. Like, he manipulate is not the right word, but him just being out there, he's going to accumulate stats because he can enforce his will for two or 3 minutes of the game. Figure.
Absolutely.
Right. And I just want to get a bucket. Let me just go end to end.
He can just run the floor and eat that way. Yeah, no question. He can just run the floor.
Yeah. So last one, because this one is going to be interesting. We can either go Knicks or we can go Pistons. Which one you want to go, Marcus?
Oh, that's a tough one. I kind of want to go. Let's just go Knicks. Pistons are okay. So intriguing, but.
Oh, we can go Knicks. How about this? We go Knicks, Pistons, or Bucks.
Let me get the Bucks out of here.
Okay, I'll just give you the options. I'll give you the options. So the over-under on the Knicks is 53 wins, right? Mike Brown's the head coach. Jordan Clarkson there. But they basically run in their back because they're like, we got Tibbs up out of here, and this is where we're going.
Well,
if the Knicks don't get a top three seed in the Eastern Conference, why do they not get a top three seed in a depleted-ass, rat-ass Eastern Conference?
Because if that happens, it's because Mike Brown could not stop the erosion of chemistry in that locker room. It finally catches up to them. The like turmoil that's so visible on the court with Cat and Brunson and all them, it catches up to them. And, you know, I think Mike Brown fixes that in a way that maybe Tibbs couldn't. But
I think Tibbs was very hands off. Tibbs was hands off with the people stuff.
Yeah. And Mike Brown's not. Like, Mike Brown's gonna get in there. Like that's kind of his specialty. But also it tends to work better on like turning bad teams into good ones.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Not like turning good teams into great ones.
Yeah, we've seen him do that before. So like, and these is like a lot of veterans, a lot of dudes mm-hmm. who, you mm-hmm. know, been around the blocks, been on a few teams and almost like, hey man, we don't need that. And if Mike can't do it, you know, and they still are trying to figure out who's taking the shots and who's, you know what I'm saying? Like that could hurt them. And they overcame it last year.
Right.
In a way that not even Knicks people thought they would, but they've got to get that part in order. And specifically, there just has to be a better harmony offensively between Brunson and Cat. Like they've got to. That those are the two big dogs. They've got to figure out a better way to operate. If there's an erosion there, I think mm-hmm. it hurts them. If they figure it out, I think it propels them.
I think, look, there is one thing to play with the essential house money, right? With the way the playoff seeding worked, we looked at them and said, oh, Boston's not getting all out in the second round if y'all even get past Detroit. And let's be honest here.
I thought Detroit was getting them. To be honest, I thought once
they won game two, I was like, oh yeah, the series is over now. That's what I was thinking. Like if Isaiah Stewart's healthy, if Jaden Ivey's healthy, they getting popped, right? Like that's just what it was. But they made it to the conference finals, and you take nothing away from that because they beat the Celtics. They legit whatever happened with Tatum and was that game six happened. Yeah. It happened. They were going to lose that game anyway. They were down 15 at that point in the second half when Tatum went down. Like, they get all due respect for beating the champions, but there's something different when you walk into a season expecting to be wire to wire the team that gets to the NBA Finals, because we're not asking that of Cleveland Cavaliers. We're not asking that of Milwaukee. We're not asking that of Detroit or Orlando or any of these other teams. We're asking that of the New York Knicks. And we're going to see it. It's it's the line on Jay-Z's blueprint, too. It's the burden of the penalty of leadership.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
Now, literally, we're looking at the Knicks like, how do you not make it now? Like, this is a red carpet. Like, you have to make it at this point. At least you got to get back to the conference finals.
They have to get to the NBA finals.
It's the NBA finals.
That's here's the thing. If the expectation for the Knicks is to get to the conference finals, it's only because Michael Jordan or LeBron James in a super team, in a super space, is in their way. Like, New York don't operate like that, where if we get to second to the last round, we'll be happy. Yeah. If they anything worth they salt and there's no visible obstacle in their way, the expectation is going to be for them to get to the NBA finals. Period.
I would just be okay with it if they got to the East Finals and Giannis just was Giannis. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no shame in losing to Giannis.
If Giannis, like, but if Milwaukee's there, then a lot done happened. Right?
Yeah.
A whole lot done happened.
A whole lot done happened.
When we come back, we get to talk about John Wall stepping back and taking a, you know, it's not stepping back, he's retiring. And Rick Carlisle gets an extension. Welcome back to The Good Word, here with Marcus Thompson from The Athletic. Marcus, John Wall, when it comes out, when it like when the name rolls off the tongue, it doesn't roll off like, man, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. You know what I mean? He retired yesterday. He's joining Amazon. I looked up the numbers and it didn't even hit me, Marcus. A five-year stretch from 2013 to 2018, let's just call it even. 20 points, yeah. 10 assists, 2 steals. The Wizards never made it to the conference finals because they're the Wizards. They never make it to the conference finals. Yeah. That's just who they are. They ain't made the conference finals since Michael Jackson put out Off the Wall. They couldn't make the conference finals with John Wall. That's just what it is, right? Is he a guy that we look at as injuries? Yeah, I said, yeah, come on now. Come on now, Marcus. I had that one in the tuck.
That's good.
I know something wrong with me. Hey, you know, you get a little delirious when it's summertime. That's what we're
summertime, baby. That's a bar, though. What you should that's a bar good for all seasons.
Hey, do we look at John Wall as a guy that's like, ah, man, what could have been if not for injuries? Or do we look at him as a guy who kind of he was what with maybe his own limitations, so to speak, or playing for the Wizards? He had the type of career that maybe he should have had.
No, I think he maxed out. I think we'll look at John Wall as a great NBA player and a cut below the elite. Like, but he was able to battle the elite. I mean, there's so many, ain't no shade in that. It's so many great players in NBA history who we look at like that. And you're like, man, if you was there, you know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he one of those guys, like, where everybody be talking about this and we going to be old in the barbershop and getting our little gray beards lined up. Be like, hey, man, John Wall. Who? John Wall? Who? Boy, if you wasn't in the building. My dad interviews to be like that about Connie Hawkins. I'm like, Connie, who? I don't know. They be like, man, Connie Hawkins, right? I feel like he's worthy of that level. Like, he was a great NBA player. He pushed some of the best NBA players in the league. Like, that's a hell of a career. He had a hell of a career. And like you said, he made the Wizards, like watchable. Like, he, you know, but he's dueling with Bra. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, like, John Wall was one of the ones who, and this is, like, why the NBA is the best league in the world. This is why it's the best league in the world. Because you can be the best of the best, and every night it's somebody like that
in front of you
who will bury you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who will, you know, John Wall go out there and drop 50 on you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And do his little...
Mm-hmm.
Or do the other things that he did
in Atlanta. I was like, whoa, did the camera catch him doing that? Yes, they did.
They forgot that he was sitting in the area that forgot that social media could tell it all. Like, some of that stuff don't stay on the block.
No, absolutely.
it gets to the mainstream.
you know what I think of? I think of guys like Rod Strickland.
Yeah.
Guys like Mark Price.
Absolutely.
Like, Rod Strickland made an all-star team, and Mark Price made a few of them, but you don't think of them because, you know, Steph Curry plays, Isaiah plays, Magic plays.
Yeah.
They're not disrespected by history, but there's only so much space, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. The coldest handles.
Rod Strickland was so cold.
He had tape on his fingers.
Look like Ralph Tresvant out there. Like, you didn't know he was going. Like, you get out here getting cooked by the New Editions lead singer. Cooking you. Like...
and he can't shoot.
Rob was cool.
Yeah. And he couldn't shoot.
That was the crazy part. Yeah, that was the crazy part. It, like, to me, that's an honored position to be one of those guys in the NBA in the history. I mean, so many dudes you just never think about. But John Wall is like of that ilk you talk about. Like,
Kevin Johnson.
Champion. Yeah, KJ. Like, these dudes will absolutely destroy and have, not like will, have destroyed some of the best players of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's just like it just happened, and the best players of all time will vouch for them as we'll one of them dudes. Absolutely.
We'll respect them beyond. Yeah.
John Wall is one of them dudes, man. One of them.
We put so much, Marcus, on making the Hall of Fame. Like, you got to make the Hall of Fame in some ways to be validated. And I think there's almost like an honor, right? Because I think my thing on Hall of Fame is, if I think of your name and I don't pause, you're a Hall of Famer. If I got to think about it, you're probably not, right? John Wall, not one of those guys. Like, Tim Hardaway was as feared as anybody, and it took him a long time to get into the Hall of Fame, but it almost would have been better if he wasn't. Like, there's a wing for basketball lore of the guys who didn't make the Hall of Fame, but you ain't want to see them on a Tuesday night or Sunday afternoon on NBC. You ain't want them problems.
We need a Hall of Game. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the people who was like, hey, man, I still got game, right? I was still cooking. Like, that lower level. Like, I'm with you. I think too many dudes make the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
By far.
But to me, I get my greatest pleasure from the NBA and always have in that next tier. Like, knowing that, understanding that, to me, that's real hoop right there.
You had to be there, guys.
Yeah, that's real. That's real hoop right there.
Derrick Rose won't make the Hall of Fame, right? Penny Hardaway won't make the Hall of Fame.
Won't make the Hall of Fame, but man.
But you wanted no problems.
Man.
No problems.
And they were a pleasure to watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, they brought something unique. And, like, the superstars that we hold up like that, they aren't as valuable without these guys.
Absolutely.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, these dudes provide an incredible value. Like, think about
it.
Like,
texture.
John Wall.
Like, it's texture to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. When you start saying, man, like Isaiah's Isaiah because of who he had to get through.
Right.
And them dudes went dry. Okay, what am I talking about? Plumbers and all that. No, what? If you never saw Hersey Hawkins play, Hersey Hawkins will give you 30. You know what I'm saying? Without breaking a sweat. Like, what? These dudes was out here cold.
Working
you.
You
know, like, yeah,
working
nah.
Working you.
But like, those dudes, they try, they prune, they test our best players and verify them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get past it. Like, Gilbert gonna be one of them dudes.
Yes.
Gilbert Arenas is one of them dudes. Like, I know he's, like, become this, like, character now, but, man, Gil was a problem, right? Like, an absolute problem.
For a 3 or 4 year stretch, you wanted zero problems with him. Perfect. He had the perfect size. He had range. He could score at all three levels. He could finish at the man. Look, we just need to have something that's titled "You Had to Be There." Right. And the kids hate us telling them that you had to be there because that invalidates them in some way. And they think they know all the shit. But some guys, you had to be there. Now,
hey, that's the rite of passage, because they're going to do the same thing to their youngsters.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to do the exact same thing to their youngsters.
Like, Brandon Roy, his name ain't on Basketball Reference and Hall of Fame probability. Yeah. Okay.
Astro Superstars about Brandon Roy.
Get your heart broke.
We might be looking at, like, Ja Morant might end up one of them guys. Like, Trae Young might end up one of them guys, right?
Ooh.
Where they might not get to that upper echelon.
Right.
But you gonna tell me Trae Young wasn't a problem for, you know, like, what? Yeah, we gotta tell them that to keep the tradition alive. Like, our daddies and uncles told us that same thing, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we gotta tell them, Young, you had to be there. And once we do that to them, they will have the right and the duty to tell the next generation, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. You had to be there to see.
My dad was like, boy, you should play like Kenny Anderson.
Oh, Kenny. Kenny is color.
You're left-handed. You should play like Nick Van Exel. Absolutely.
Nick Van Exel.
Oh, this Nick, going down memory lane. Now,
and so many dudes like that in the league. Like, so to me, it's an honor for John Wall to be like his era. He was right there with the best of the best. Like, that dude on any given night.
You're getting a long night. Like, in a versus of greatest hits, John Wall gonna give you a long day. You may win, but you're gonna get a long day.
You're gonna get a long day. You better bring your A game, because don't be coming out here with your B side hits.
Oh, no, you better come. Hey, Hey, you better come with that decade.
Save the best. Yeah.
You better come with your classics. You better come with your songs in the key of life, your Thrillers, your Purple Rains. No, don't do that. Speaking of Hall of Fame coaches, Hall of Fame people, so to speak, Rick Carlisle got an extension with the Pacers. Marcus, I don't know if you feel the way I feel about NBA coaches. My thing is this. There's 7 really good coaches, 7 really bad ones, and a bunch of dudes in the middle. I think Rick Carlisle is one of those dudes at the front of the line. He's a wizard.
He's
a wizard. He's in the 7. He's a wizard. A wizard.
Jim Carrey's good. Jim Carrey's one of the best we've ever seen.
Like, we don't think of him being that way, but he done had 3 distinct title-like teams. That Pacers team that he had, that was derailed by, the malice at the Palace and the way they had to destruct that team because they were in Indianapolis and you couldn't bring that team back in Indianapolis after everything that they had done on TV. That's one thing. Then the Dallas Mavericks team that he had with Dirk and Jason Kidd and all those guys that kept getting beaten down. And then all of a sudden they won. And now you got this Pacers team, which I think was going to be a little bit better than people think. Because you got Rick Carlisle on the sidelines. Like, I think he's one of those super underrated coaches.
I know you're talking about, like, these type of players that people, like, you don't want to see, like John Wall, Ross Richards, and all that. Carlisle's that as a coach. Like, these coaches look at Carlisle like, man.
Long day.
In NFL, it's like, you don't want to see Andy Reid after a bye week. Like,
that's a great point.
You don't want to see Rick Carlisle in a playoff series.
No.
You don't want to see Rick Carlisle in a playoff series, man. Like, he won it in once. Like, he's chess. And if you know anything about Rick Carlisle, like, he's maniacal that way. Like, he's got that mad scientist kind of tip. Like, Steve Kerr is, like, way on the other side of the spectrum. He's, like, chemistry and, perspective. Vibes. And yeah. Rick Carlisle is, like, full-fledged, like, maniac, weirdo, mad scientist and is going to figure out something, right? Rick Carlisle was one of them dudes who never had nothing in the fridge, but somehow had to make something to eat. Like, he gonna make something to eat.
You calling him MacGyver? he made a plane fly out of just sticks and a piece of
like
paper.
2 batteries and a pencil. Like, the things he can do, and he's seen so much hoop too. Like, he's been in, like you said, he took L's. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
He's taking L's. Like, and all that stuff is in the algorithm. So there's not too much you sneaking up on Rick Carlisle. And he done forgot more than most remember. And he can do that. Like, he can create these weird matchups. He can play any type of system. Remember, his teams used to be like bully ball, defense and physical and fight. And now he out here with the Pacers.
Finessing them.
He can go either way. Like,
Andrew Nembhard? Wait, where he come from?
Nembhard and, Naismith? You just give him what you got, and he's going to figure out how to maximize what that is.
Obi Toppin? That's what we doing?
Yeah. These, like rejects. You know what I'm saying? Like, people who we thought weren't out, speaking of 22, I was watching the 22 finals was on, like, the replay.
Yeah.
I forgot Neesmith was on that Celtics squad. He was getting garbage minutes. Yeah, he's getting garbage. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Like, Carlisle, when you go up against him, like, Pat Bev once said this. He was like, when he playing Steph, like, he going to sleep that night. Like, ain't no going out,
Right.
He's like, I'm in the bed at 8 o'clock. Carlisle's one of them coaches. Like, you going to sleep. Like, you think about all the angles, because he is just such a great basketball strategist and a great manager of talent. He's going to figure out something based on what he has. Like, you go in the kitchen, you don't know what it is. And sometimes the cupboard's full, sometimes it's not, but he going to eat. He going to eat. And that, to me, how many coaches can you say that about? Now, coaches tend to have their system. Their system works, and they get players to fit that system. Don Nelson is one of those guys. I got a style of play. I'm playing it. If I don't have the players, we're cooked. If I got the players, we a problem. That's how a lot of the great coaches are. Kyle is one of them few who could be like, I don't really care what you give me. Give me something and give me some time. Me and you going to have a problem.
Look, there's 3 coaches that I put at the top of the top, right? it's Carlisle, it's Ty Lue, and it's Eric Spoelstra. What they can do is,
I think Ty Lue's one of them dudes too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. They can take theirs and beat yours, and they can take yours and beat their own.
Yeah.
I thought going into game seven of the NBA Finals in the first 2.5 minutes, right? I was like, oh, the Pacers are going to win this game. Tyrese Halliburton was hitting them threes. I'm like, yep. You giving Carlisle 7 games to figure this thing out? And he was working. Dude, winning Mark Daigneault.
They was winning that game, bro.
He was working Mark Daigneault. Not that Daigneault ain't a good coach, right? But he was working coach, yeah. him throughout the course of that series. You could see it. And like, oh, he done figured some stuff out. And then when Halliburton got hurt, it was like Kevin Durant getting hurt in Toronto. It was like, all right, man, can we go home now? This series is over. Right. Like,
and KD came out, gave him quick 12. He was like, all right, it's over now. That series shifted so quick. It was like, yeah, this
it
is
was like the, when KD showed up, it was like, okay, the adult's here.
Yeah, like, yeah,
it's,
nah.
like, it's like playtime's over, y'all. The adult's they running, here. Like,
junk defense boxing one on Steph, right? Like, four guys, like, Van Vliet not even looking. And then KD come in like, bing, 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 bing. Ah, oh, bang. That's game.
That's what
you
I
can't
thought.
Do
like,
that, okay.
That's what I thought. Oh, the finals are here. Like, this is my first finals, Marcus. Like, 2019 was my first finals. So I'm like, oh, this is what everybody was talking about covering the NBA finals. KD showed up for the first quarter. It was like basketball crack.
Like,
and
bing,
then we
bing,
got
bing.
Sober
was,
real quick.
That was so quick, too. KD came in like, like, oh, change everything. Everything changed. Like, the world changed. It just felt like it was so different when KD stepped onto the court and did his thing. It was like the whole nation of Canada was like, oh, hell.
Game,
to the
game
point
over.
Where too many of them were clapping when he got hurt because they knew what was happening.
They were. They your boy Drake. Your boy Drake over there was clapping at first, and then he saw the camera on him. He started acting all like he was hurt and everything else. Man,
they knew what was going to happen. If KD was staying, it was so
walking,
clear
walking
what was going to happen.
Down. And that was that peak was, Kawhi Leonard, and they were going to get walked down.
That series was over, and in one 11-minute stretch, it was all right. That's how I felt about Indiana. Tyrese Dunn, I'm like, bro, they really about to win this game. Like,
they about to win
insane.
The series. They about
that's
to win the series.
That is insane how they could pull that off. But that Carlisle's one of them dudes. I'll actually, for a different reason, I've come to put Steve Kerr in there.
Oh, he's growing as a coach. He's growing as a coach.
You know what Steve Kerr's going to do every time? He's going to always have dudes next to him who know. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kerr mm-hmm. Kerr don't have, like...
He'll get stiffs over there. He got dudes over there.
And he's going to listen to him, and mm-hmm. he's going to use it, and he's going to always have that 13th guy who's going to dive head first into a wall for him. Like, every time. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're going to get 4 minutes, and he's going to make it feel like the 4 minutes of their life, and he's been preparing them for the 4 minutes, and nobody, like, if there's this psychological element that Steve Kerr does that it works better than strategy. So, like, I'm seeing it, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know, why would you? And then
why are you throwing this dude out there? And then he's like a plus 25. He's like a plus 25.
It's so frustrating. He's right again. And I'm sitting here like, I don't know, like, doing this, and then the guy hits the biggest shot of the series. It was like, why are you putting Nick Young on the court ever? Like, Nick Young hits probably the biggest shot in game seven against Houston that series.
That's right, he did.
Like,
that's
yes,
right, he
it was
did.
A massive shot. He was ice cold. He wasn't playing. He wasn't the Nick Young we knew. He wasn't that.
No, he was the Nick Young that we knew. That's why he shouldn't have been out there.
No, yeah.
He was excited. He's the Nick Young of the Washington Wizards.
He wasn't the ideal of Nick Young, right, nigga? He wasn't that version where he could go out and hit a bunch of shots. Like, he was, yeah, it was crazy. It's like, dude, like, you put them in this game, and then he hits the biggest shot, one of the biggest shots in the city. Like, Steve Kerr has that, like, weird.
Big brain, yeah, big brain.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. But he always got dudes next to him who, like, he'll take Carlisle next to him, where a lot of coaches would be like, I don't want an assistant. Yeah, nah, he like, nah, give me the smartest people. I want people smarter than me in the seat next to me. And then he's gonna work his psychological game.
And
he's
give me
listen
a tough
to
guy. And give me a Jerry Stackhouse. That ain't gonna be taking none of your guff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's gonna go into like I remember this, and this is no shade to Fred Hoiberg, who I really like. When the Bulls hired Fred Hoiberg, they were whispering to us because the Warriors had just won their first title in 15. They were like, Fred Hoiberg, he's like Steve Kerr. And after that first couple weeks, I was like, this is Ned Flanders compared to Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is a gangster.
That's people really miss that about Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is the most competitive dude in the organization.
He like, broke all them clipboards, getting in Draymond's face in the locker room and everything. Like, man, look.
Bro, did you watch the Court of Gold when they did the little U.S.? They had a moment where Steve Kerr, like before the championship game, like he looked like he praying, but he really just like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Just like, he just like giving himself a pep talk. I'm like, Steve, you're a maniac. Like, Steve is a maniac, bro. Like, no question.
He's one of those dudes that if you're about to fight him, he's probably about to start crying. And then that's the guy you don't want to fight.
Bruh, when the story goes, because I wasn't in there, but I've heard a lot about it. Remember 2016 OKC?
Mm-hmm.
When Draymond was trying to get his deed?
Mm-hmm.
From what I was told, Steve wasn't running.
Well, no, backing down. He wasn't. Steve hey, wasn't Steve come running. On.
Steve was
come on.
Steve wasn't ready. That's all I heard.
You wanted? Come on. I've been waiting on this since you got here. I've been having to listen to your shit for 2 years. Let's get it. Hey, Draymond, you might want to leave him alone.
That's why they love each other. They probably don't need to be paired together, coach and player, for too much longer, because they will kill each other. But they love each other. Like, for they're like the same. Yeah. They love each other.
They just
like
different.
They're gonna be great friends after. I'm telling you, watch Steve and Draymond, like they're peas in a pot.
Hey, Marcus, that's your next book, and you go on tour with Draymond and Steve Kerr. That's what you do.
Nah, my next book is gonna be to write all the reasons why you need to write your book.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Marcus Thompson from The Athletic. We appreciate Marcus for his time today. Thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team that works so hard behind the scenes. By that, I mean producer Dakota. We'll be back next week for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.